Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
It's that time. We have the people.
This is Eric from Moana.
This is Priscilla Lima.
This is Tim Jensen with Pepperdine Volleyball.
The story in real time.
I can't argue that we're the best team in the world.
I'm not retiring, people.
You're listening to The Net Line with Barney.
I dominated.
Peter.
We're into that because we're horny for volleyball.
Reed.
Where's Pretty? You promised me he'd be on the show today.
And DJ Rouché.
The baddest DJ in the land.
It's The Net Live right now.
Please, people, control yourselves.
What are you doing?
Jeremy's not even in the show
yeah,
right
what are
now.
You
He's
doing?
Texting.
You want to know what I'm doing? I'm
yeah.
fixing how you spelled my last name in your phone.
That's been in there for 8 years.
Yeah. Spell it correctly.
I can spell it correctly now, but back then I had no idea.
So fix it in your phone. Do you know I dominated
Welcome
page?
To the Net Live,
like
ladies
Barnett.
And gentlemen.
I dominated.
Kevin Barnett, Chris McGee, and you can hear DJ Fauxhawk Roche in the house.
A chippy group.
This morning, a lot like the Lakers-Clippers last week, just
well,
chippy.
Well, DJ Roche got here a little bit late for him.
I noticed that.
No, I got here
He's
right
normally
on time.
Here quite early, and this time he arrived about 10 minutes behind schedule. We were actually wondering if he was asleep.
Here. This is my new time. I'm going to show up to the show.
Really?
Yep.
By the way, Kevin's got it down. Barney's got it down. I get here. Wife hasn't gone to work yet. I mean, she's a working woman. She's cooking him eggs, cleaning the house.
Nice.
Then she's on her way to work to make some money.
You got it pretty good over there, buddy. I don't know what you're bitching about all the time.
Am I bitching all the time?
Before we go on air, yeah.
A little negative?
Yeah. You have been very negative lately. I think
been.
It's good for
That's
the ratings.
True.
Negative,
because it draws a lot out in our audience. But yeah, I feel like you've been a little...
I've been a little negative.
A little edgy, a little negative. Remember me in 2011?
The old Geeter?
By the way, my wife keeps bringing that up, that I talked about that. At our Netty show. Remember we talked about where we were a year prior?
Uh-huh.
How much better my attitude is now?
Wife listened to the show, huh?
And she will not stop.
Agrees 100%.
She's kind of agreeing with that and bringing it up in my moments where I'm maybe not as chipper and happy. Remember when you talked about it? Yeah. So,
this is your resolution.
Yeah.
You better hold to that.
So I've had a good year and the show's been good to me. But Barney's the complete opposite. And I think it's because he and Reed, Jeremy, are no longer speaking.
They're not on BFF terms at the
well,
moment.
Well, I mean, Reed's busy, and we really don't know where he is. He finally emailed the show, which is amazing, the other day. But I think that Barney, well, you know, it's like losing your dog. You know, he lost his best friend.
Oh, so Reed's
losing
the dog.
Reed.
You just called
like
Reed
losing
the dog.
That.
You're gonna go over well.
This could be Geeter's last week
yeah,
on the show.
Might be my last show.
You're going to get an email.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, our resolution on this program was to give you the best we could every week. And I'm not sure we've delivered on that, but we're going to give it another shot today. We've got a lot of good discussions going on. We'll talk about assistant coaches looking for head jobs and how that relates back to the job they're at. Imagine telling your boss, hey, I'm going to go and get another job, but if I don't get another job, I'm going to stay right here and work for you. How would that work? I mean, that's how it works in coaching, but it's just going to be an interesting discussion to talk about that. Cal Baptist men's program, going to join the MPSF. We'll talk a little bit about that process and how it got going. The AVP versus Cuervo. We reported on this lawsuit several weeks ago, and it was filed, and it has some implications to things that are happening now. And Bill Ferguson, USC, going to join us. His team off to a good start, Geeter?
Good start. They're young, getting better. Played UC Irvine tough, lost in four, but... Went to BYU, the number one, the clear-cut number one team in the country, probably them and Irvine and UCLA, the top three, according to the coaches. And Fergie played them tough. SC lost in four, then lost in five at BYU. So if you got to think, if BYU is hosting, which they probably will, the MPSF tournament, SC has been there, played in the altitude, played them tough. It won't be their first time at BYU this year. You'd hate to play them first or second round. And you know they always get better at the end of the year as well.
Playing up at BYU is tough. The altitude, the fans, the whole atmosphere, everybody's Mormon. It's crazy. We're going to have Phil Ferguson on here. Of course, we will have AVCA College of Volleyball Weekly with Mike Sonheimer and Jay Hossack. Going to be checking in and giving us the week that was in the world of men's volleyball right now. But guys, I got a little news here from the neighborhood. Yesterday, out in the backyard, in the garage, doing a little work in the garage, and all of a sudden, I hear a huge crash, followed by a second huge crash, like almost like two things exploded. I look up past my property, just north, and I see electrical wires swinging and sparking off the pole.
Not good.
No. And the power went out. And I'm like, did a transformer just explode? My oldest son's like, Dad, what was that? So I think a transformer exploded and fell to the ground. Let's go check it out. We go around the corner. So it's basically through the next set of lots is where this happened. Turns out, old woman in a minivan made a right.
Into a house?
Stomped the accelerator, hit a telephone pole or a power pole, hit the thing and knocked it down.
How was she?
She was, I thought, dead. She was slumped over in the driver's seat. There's electrical wires all over the street. Lots of people around. No, cops were already there. Like 3 minutes later, the cops were there. It was amazing.
She was slumped over.
She slumped over in the seat. There's electrical wires all over the street. Cops are there telling everybody to stay back. There are no skid marks leading into that telephone pole or that power pole. None.
She just went for it.
Yeah. Front of the minivan used to be about 4.5 feet long, about 2 feet long.
Mm.
Unbelievable. So finally, she kind of comes to or whatever. I think either the airbag knocked her out or she fainted before and stomped the pedal or she hit the wrong pedal or something. She finally comes to. They get her out of there. But huge, huge excitement here. And now today, the report is telephone or the pole, the power pole, completely replaced already. They were here last night, 10 o'clock at night, with the floodlights finishing off.
You apparently live in a nice neighborhood. Because if it was a nice neighborhood, that electrical wires would still be sparking in the middle of the street right now. And was this the same lady that I came across when I turned the corner on your street this morning who was standing in the middle of the street texting in her pink robe with high heels on?
Seriously?
100%.
That's awesome. Wish she had a photo for the Facebook page.
I had to give her a little honk because she literally didn't know I was right behind her.
Really?
To get out of the way.
Pink bathrobe?
Pink bathrobe.
What color heels?
Black.
Oh, well, at least she's thinking about her colors.
Yes. And she didn't look homeless. Like, once I actually saw her face, like, she looked normal. She was just texting.
Did she then go into the house nearby?
I don't know where she went. I just got out of my car, locked it, and ran inside.
Because you were late.
So interesting.
Redondo Beach. Awesome.
It's crazy.
There's that nice little lull right there.
Crickets.
Well, you got to let it go. You know, sometimes the show isn't wall-to-wall talking. Can't be.
You need the audience just to take a deep breath sometimes.
After our first story of the day.
Yeah.
Non-volleyball related. All those non-volleyball or those hardcore volleyball people freaking out about the non-volleyball story. I turned it on for 5 minutes, and all they talked about was some lady crashing into a power pole. Yeah, guys, it's called a show. Volleyball's fun and all.
That's funny, man. I saw some volleyball people last night.
You did?
Saw John Spraw, coach at UC Irvine.
Yeah, where are you
Mark
hanging
Presho,
out?
Assistant coach. And you know Eddie Rapp? Coach Forbes and JC, he's their volunteer assistant. That's a nice pickup. There's a little barbecue over at Ed Rapp's, a little family gathering. Lambo showed up. He lives like four houses down from Ed. And the Furbringers were there. It was the UCLA banquet last night. Rachel Kutter got MVP. They showed up. And myself with both kids. My wife
you were
could
far
not
down
be there.
South then.
Yeah, we went down to Costa Mesa. And it's always a nice little gathering. And Coley Kyman and his wife Michelle. So a lot of volleyball people in that crew. A lot of smack talking. The debate with Kobe, how good is he, that kind of stuff. But it was always good to see that crew.
Michelle was there. Was Dirty Heather present?
Dirty Heather was not there. She's down in San Diego. Love you throughout, Dirty Heather. But, yeah, there's a lot of tall people, too. I mean, Eddie's wife, Sarah, is about 6'3", 6'4". And Eddie's only about 5'8", so that they're a match.
Michelle's about 6'3".
Yeah, and she wears heels, so she's about 6'5". But it's good to see Lambo. Lambo's working away, playing a little bit, too. Came down and played a couple four-man games recently in the South Bay. So Lambo and Stein's living back here now, and he's playing a little bit. It's a little update on the former beach world. Furby's getting ready for the run at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So it was good to see those kind of people.
Very cool.
But having both kids by yourself with a 10-month-old baby and a 4-year-old, that was tough. The baby wasn't at her best last night. a new tooth came in, but it was – you really realize how valuable the mom is when you're solo.
Yeah, just
and
the power of two.
As I say, and you know what I mean by in it. You're just deep and you're solo.
You want to talk
and
you're to people.
The block.
You can't
yeah,
talk
you can.
To anybody. Kids crying.
Yeah, so it was a special night, but Jess definitely the MVP.
Mills
so.
Is hanging off your outfit.
She was actually solid.
Pulling
you know?
Your pants
she
down.
Was, she was shirt. Actually, Lambo's wife had said how independent she is. So I like to. I think she realized that dad was struggling and had sweat beads on his forehead and was just in, looked like he was in a little bit of a panic. She sensed it. And realize that you know we're gonna let him go. How about Kevin Love last night? We're talking about beach volleyball players. 33-15 or something.
He got a new contract, didn't he? He got a new contract.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to his beach game this summer. You know, he comes around and plays, and he got about a 60 to 62 mil for 4 years, and he can opt out after three.
How bad were the expectations for Ricky Rubio? And he's over delivered, has he not?
Well, it's funny. I mean, the guys last night at this barbecue were acting like Ricky Rubio is the next John Stockton. I mean, it was like you guys hated him a month ago. People thought he was going to be terrible. I mean, he's got a nice little game to him.
He still can't shoot from the outside, though.
Yeah.
Not yet.
He'll get
the
better.
The kid's
though.
Like 19.
He'll get better.
He?
Yeah. Well, he's played, been playing pro ball since he was 7. Seriously, some of those guys in Europe,
yeah.
It's like volleyball now. Those guys
14 years old, you're in the A1 squad.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of those. Men's volleyball players over there that we grew up watching. I mean, they're kids, literally, you know, 14,
yeah.
15, as you said, you know, in the gym every day. That's why I think those Puerto Rican teams were always good. When we used to play JOs,
yeah.
Remember those Puerto Rican teams at like 12, 13, 14 years
Quarantine old? Quarantine Gardens.
Even into the 16, yeah, Torimar. Even into the 16s, they were so good and so skilled. And, you know, you found out that they were literally junior national team playing every day, like training for hours. So, you know, and then when they got the 17s, 18s, the size always kind of caught
problem,
up to them.
Yeah.
But, they're some fun thing. Players. I remember being a kid; just they're running combinations and you know flying and bouncing balls. They're like 13.
I remember watching my brother up at San Jose when they were playing in the JOs that year, and it was Hector
yeah,
Soto
yeah.
up there. I mean, Hector Soto he weighed all of 115 pounds, but he jumped 50 inches. It was just crazy to watch. But he's gone to a rather successful professional career. But you mentioned it; they are very good at the junior level. They
yeah.
have the experience. They have the touch with what professional ball actually. Is and what that level looks like, and I think their players progress, but turns out they're not very tall.
Not very tall, and the girls are kind of the same way. You know, I've been in the 18s for so long, so I'm out of touch, but you'll see them at some tournaments and JOs, you'll
yeah.
walk by, and it's the huge crowd around the court, and they're always involved in gnarly games. It's always the semis or the quarters, and they're you know, got the cowbells, and they're cheering. It's a great atmosphere, but those kids are good.
Well, the Puerto Rican fire helps, too, just the way that they play.
Torimar. They just scream. Yeah. And the Olays. It's pretty fun.
That's awesome. Hey, speaking of teams that are moving up and playing better, Cal Baptist University is going to join the MPSF for men's volleyball. This is something that's been a long
Didn't
time in the making.
Didn't they lose their coach recently? That's what Presho told me. We've got to ask Fergie about that, but they've been, like, really good. After I stopped
they've
playing college,
nice
they got
players.
Some, was it some either Euro guys or some Brazilians, but they were able
no,
to get guys.
They had some good guys. They had a setter who was pretty good. They had an officer who was pretty good, spent all the time on the national team. I mean, they've had some good players. They've definitely raised the level. But this has been 15 years in the making. We started playing Cal Bap kind of my second year is what I remember. I don't remember if we played my first year.
Yeah.
But that would be 96-97. We played Cal Bap, and we kind of beat them up pretty bad. But I know that they've been playing the MPSF teams since then. And so finally next year, 12-13 season, they're going to join the MPSF. They'll be eligible
yeah.
to win the championship 13-14. But they're moving up to the big time.
That's pretty cool. Where is that place?
I was under the impression it was out east. It's actually up by Ventura.
Cal Baptist by Ventura? I thought it was like
yeah.
the Pomona area as well.
No, I think it's up by Ventura, kind of near Carpinteria. Between Ventura and Carpinteria is my impression
well,
of where Cal Baptist is.
We'll ask Fergie kind of about the history of that program. Because real interesting story and just cool that they're joining the MPSF.
Well, and how about a little bit of growth finally
yeah.
for the world of men's volleyball? Because that's important. We haven't had any of that. I mean, we've been losing programs like LMU, aka State. I got it here in Riverside, actually. Look at that. Riverside, Cal Baptist University. I don't know, maybe somebody in the chat board can figure it out. I've got it.
So it is out there.
Yeah. But what did I see? I saw something up by Ventura. Kind of threw me. Got Magnolia Avenue in Riverside. How about that?
We have a this is nice for the show. We have a guest confirmed for next Monday, and I know this is going to make Jeremy happy. Because we're not waiting Saturday, Sunday to chase
who
them.
Who is she? He.
He, Sam Crossan, the new coach at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, nice. Will be joining us next Monday.
Replaced Ric Flair.
He replaced John Stevenson, and used to be an assistant coach at University of Pacific men's volleyball team back in the day under Coach Wortman, and then was the assistant the last couple years for Rich Feller at Cal. Went
nice.
To the national championship game 2 seasons ago, and now the head man. So kind of goes into your topic as well of assistant coaches becoming head coaches.
Yeah, we're going to get into that a little bit later in the program, I think, after we have Ferguson on here, because we'll talk to Fergie about that. Obviously, being a head coach, he's had to recruit assistant coaches.
Yep.
Thinking of guys moving over from Pepperdine, J.J. Riley.
J.J. Riley. I remember John Hawks went from Irvine to SC over to Long Beach State.
And now to Spire Institute.
Now to Spire Institute.
Big supporter of the show.
You know what happens next year? Allen goes back to Long Beach State, correct?
Allen goes back to Long Beach State. John Sproul takes over the national team on a halftime basis.
Be interesting to see what John Sproul does. I was talking about him coming on our show. We were laughing with Presho and the guys because I was like, he led us right to the UCLA question. He was like, I just can't believe I led you guys right there. And I just thought it was so funny. We were laughing about it last night. He was like, yeah, it's just great how he's heard what he's doing from everybody. And they know for sure.
Right.
Even though he's never talked to that person.
Right.
But yeah, he's obviously going to make a decision. It's either going to be UCLA, it's going to be the national team, or it's Irvine. Whatever he chooses, there's going to be a little bit of a domino effect because those jobs are going to be open. So that means someone gets UCLA if he stays at Irvine or vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the men's game because there's not that many. You know, it's weird when Charlie Wade jumped over to the men's side at Hawaii. You know, it's you don't really see that too often with the women's coaches jumping over. You know, Rick McLaughlin went from JC and got the job over at UCSB. But it'll be interesting to see which assistant coach gets promoted to that head job that are valuable jobs in our men's volleyball. Well, we can talk to Jay about that too, but there's just not that many of them.
No, unfortunately, there's almost none of them, and they don't turn over that often. Looking at what, 2-3 jobs a year? At the most.
Oh,
in a busy year.
You mean like assistant and head?
No, head coach job. Like, how many head coach jobs are there open?
In the women's game or men's game?
In the men's game.
Per year?
In the MPSF, let's say.
Oh.
Well, I take it all, actually. Take all the other good teams, too. Ohio State, Loyola,
rarely.
Penn State. I mean,
think about it. Pete Hansen's been there 28 years. Marv's been there forever. Al Skates is finally retired after 15. I mean, it's you know, Campbell now, who took over
Penn State.
Northridge. When we dropped the program at Northridge, John Price kind of had to make a decision, went into the women's game and took that Bakersfield job.
Yeah.
You know, Jeff Campbell got that. That was 97. He's been there ever since.
Right.
He's not going anywhere.
No, you get that job.
You mean,
you're
Preston
not
had it forever. You know, step down. McLaughlin now has it. Who knows how long he'll stay? But I'm just saying, those are tough jobs to get.
Yeah, very tough jobs to get. So,
and also with like no San Diego State having men's volleyball and some team LMU teams dropping off. You know, back when you and I played, and
bring
after
their teams back.
You know that hurt, man. That's 6 jobs right there. That's 2 assistants and a head.
Yeah. No, not good for the men's game. Good to see Cal Bapp getting in there. Talking about John Sproul and Irvine. It's possible to stay a college coach and be the national team coach. This is done all over the world. You have a lot of national team coaches who coach professionally in the offseason, come back, coach the national team, and it gets done. I've heard rumblings about that being possible with the U.S. men's program, but I've also heard that they value this winter program that they run, and you would have to be there to run this winter program a bit. It'll be interesting to see if you're looking for a guy like John Sproul and you want to try and get him into that national team head coaching job, then you would have to make the offer so good that he would leave Irvine, leave the security of the UC system, a system where he's had tremendous success, he has retirement benefits, he has all kinds of other benefits. You'd have to make a monster offer to Sproul. Or you make him a pretty good offer, and you say you can work this job from May to November. Because they already have people doing it. Paula Weishoff helping out with the women.
Yeah.
They have other college coaches that come and help out that are there part-time when tournament time it happens at the end of the year. Really, there's only a couple, like a month overlap on either one that's possible. And you could bridge those gaps to then have the coach you want for the rest of the summer.
You know, if I'm Irvine, you do whatever it takes to keep John Sparrow with that program.
Yes.
Whether he goes to the national team for 4 years or not, you keep him in Anteater. What he's done there, and you and I have talked about this off the air, we've talked about it on air, and I'm not just saying that because I saw him last night and he's a friend, but he's a star in this game. I mean, he's like you. He's one of the best in the men's game. He's got two national championships already. You know he's probably going to get another one in the next couple
from
of years.
From nothing, by the way.
From nothing. We're talking about the place where you used to go have Sizzler and go in and smash him in three.
Yeah.
And I used to get to play. It was fantastic. I mean, this is a program now that's here for good, and he's a big part of that. You got to keep him and pay him, and he has a good life there. I just don't know what that UCLA pull is. You know, you saw what it was for Mike. I know. Hey, you and I are on the same page on that.
It's a step down.
I agree.
Step down. Let somebody else step into that after a legend.
So hard.
UCLA, we really don't care that much. University situation.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, those guys played there, so we didn't. So I don't know what it means to them.
True.
You know what I mean? I
true.
Mean, they have a different outlook than we do.
When the Pep job opens up, I'll throw my resume in there.
No, but I'm sure, I mean, look at all the former Pep guys. You know that they would want that job, whether it's to what, Troy, Jeff Stork, you know, guys value
anybody
that Pepperdine.
Wants that job.
Yeah, I mean, Pepperdine, but it's in you. For life, just like with Northridge is always going to be in myself, Matty O, Coley Kymen. I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot of pride in those days in those programs. And UCLA guys are no different. I mean,
I think the UCLA job is a great job.
I just don't think
it's a great job for John.
And you're saying also following skates is not an easy thing to do.
That's going
to
be tough. But I think for John in particular, because of his situation, because of what he's built, because of how he's valued and how that university views volleyball, they don't have a football program. They value their volleyball program tremendously. They've put more and more money and assets into that program in recent years. My perception of UCLA is the opposite, that they've kind of had the success and they sort of get by on having Al and having that recruiting power, and we've got football and basketball. That's more important. And, yeah, we've got these national championships, but it's just volleyball. That's just my perception from the outside, and that could be different if you're working there every day. But I think it's tough to follow a legend, and I think John has a situation that is far better for him than arriving at a new job after a legend. I think for other people, for some of the other guys out there, some of the other names you mentioned, and some of the other names we talked about on this program, guys that are UCLA guys or even guys that are like Pep guys or other high-level assistants or men's program people, I think for them it would be a move up. I just think for John and his total package, not just Irvine, but the support he receives, salary, living situation, access to the national teams, all that kind of stuff, I don't think you leave that and come to Westwood. It doesn't make sense to me. What makes sense to me is Doug Beal changing the parameters of the job for the national team position and saying, we want to have John do it. Jay Hossick on the board, who we will talk to later, and we need to mention this to him, but he correctly pointed out it's going to be a grind. Agreed, it will be a grind. But I think that national team job, I think it's a grind for a lot of guys because they don't know what the heck they're doing. More of a grind. It's a tremendously tough job.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you have Allen Knipes step into it straight out of college, he's out of his depth. He has no idea what's going on. John Sparrow stepping into that job is a different situation. He's had such touch with it over the last 8 years. He really has
a
handle on the
quads,
personnel,
right?
The people. Yes, he has a handle on what that job means.
Yeah, it's no-brainer. What about the women's side when Hugh goes? I mean, you hear Karch's name a lot. At least this is talked about when I'm in the, you know, at the club tournaments. Karch, Paula's name is out there. But what about a Jimmy Mack or a John Cook? You know, I know they've expressed a little interest in that, at least from what people say and when they've come on the show. You know, if one of those guys was to leave a major program, that would then open up some jobs on the women's side. And, I mean, those are big-time jobs to get. Because what Jimmy Mack has done at Washington and what John Cook's done in Nebraska to make them – you know, household names and power programs is pretty amazing.
Yeah, but we're back into the same situation. Why would you leave that situation for the national team, which you haven't had touch with? I don't know what they do with the national team. I mean, obviously it's going to turn over. Karch seems like a reasonable pick.
Yeah. We'll have an Olympic under his belt. We'll be in Hugh's system for 4 years.
And if Karch is planning a career as a coach, you do it in the women's game.
And if, say, he becomes the head coach and he puts in his 4 years,
yeah,
another four, he'll now have 8 years of international experience. He'll have been under Hugh for four. Then he'll have his own. Who knows how they do. Can he write his own ticket because he's Karch in terms of the women's game? And
he could almost write his own ticket right now.
No matter
now.
What. Yeah.
He may take that UCLA men's job.
Yeah.
That's still possible. The timing's right.
I mean, imagine having Karch as your head coach. I mean, that, you know, I think.
Is that good?
Yeah, I think it's huge.
We won't know.
Yeah, I mean, we don't
like
know.
Anybody else. Hey, it's Karch. Oh,
but
we don't know what kind of coach he is.
Well, I've seen him coach, and yeah, we don't know what kind of head coach
he
is.
We don't know
what kind of organizer. But I gotta believe, because I know him and I've worked with him, he's gonna be great. Because when he goes into something like that, he's not one of those guys that just goes to be around it,
right,
or because he misses a game. He goes in full throttle. He watches the video. He goes to practices. He's come to our club practices. He's gone to Marv's. I mean, that's what I respect at him. When he got into broadcasting, he would drive from San Clemente all the way to Deep Valley, where Lou Riggs lives, to do the private lessons. Now, you know about Lou Riggs. He works with a lot of broadcasters. But that's a long way for Karch to go on a Tuesday. I mean, it's a two-hour drive, but he did that over and over and over again to get ready for that first Olympics, because he knew he had not had the experience that other
right,
guys had.
Right.
I know a lot of other broadcasters, and so do you. We won't talk about them on air, that have never gone, that
right,
have never looked into how to get better. You know, he did. And that always impressed me. And when I saw how he worked in Beijing, I saw his notes working alongside with him, I was impressed. So I know he will get into coaching like that. I know he has. So I just think it'll be great, because I think he's great at whatever he gets his mind onto and whatever he dives into.
There's a lot of keys. I agree with everything you said.
Yeah.
There's a lot of keys to coaching that are external to the preparation. You got to learn how to deal with
sure,
the girls. You got to learn how to recruit the girls, speak to the girls.
100% agree.
Or the guys, but we're talking about a women's job here.
Yeah.
You have to be able to do the people person side of things. I don't know Karch.
Yeah.
I agree with what you said. He'll leap in. I still think we don't know. But we'd love to find out.
We're going to break?
Yeah, because we got a couple people on the line.
Oh, okay. I think TK was calling in from China.
From China? Well, you got to let me know that, because then we can throw him on.
Well, yeah, he was
French
on the message board.
The
I thought you
here,
checked it once in a while.
Yeah, I got a little work to do here.
Fergie 213.
On the show. Yeah, Fergie's there, 20 seconds.
Okay,
we'll get to him.
We should get TK, because he's real quick from China.
Tim Kelly.
Okay.
From China. Maybe there's a delay getting halfway across.
Are you talking to me right now?
Yeah. where are you?
Oh, I'm actually in Nicaragua. I said I wanted to call to talk about China.
Okay, go ahead, buddy. How's everything going? Tell us about the tours.
Hey, life's going great. You know, the January tour was fun. We had your boy Jared out there with all his kids going nuts, burning Slovenia down.
Burning?
Do we have a delay, or can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
we got you, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, we had a good time. We got to see Julien Fossett play twice. We went and watched the Maribor team play Urbino in Italy, and then the following Wednesday saw it again in Maribor. So we got Ammerman on... from Texas A&M's playing for the Maribor team, and Julien Fossett was playing for Urbino, so that was good for the girls. The market's gotten pretty tough, so we didn't place as many kids as we would have liked to, but had a really good time.
Yeah, the economy's got to be hitting those leagues pretty hard. They were kind of on the edge anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like the way we felt the recession here 2 or 3 years ago is just getting to Europe, so... a lot of teams folded. We talked about this before the tour. You know, places like Spain and Greece have way less teams in the leagues. They just don't have leagues able to pay the charter. And a lot of teams that have historically hired 3 or 4 girls are only hiring 1 or 2 girls. And, you know, the level's going down. The money's going down. It's frustrating. But we still try to provide a pretty good experience for them and have some fun. And we had a lot of great coaches along that really did a wonderful job. So it was fun. Yeah, we had a good time.
So, Tim, I've always heard a lot about you and Europe. Let's talk about China. What do you have going on there?
Well, okay, last year for the first time we took our BIP USA development team, and that's our the events we run under the umbrella of USA Volleyball, where we kind of take the A2 type girls in years where there aren't official A2 events, or if we have something at a different time when they're going to adult nationals, we take a team. 2 years ago we went to Brazil and played their junior national team. The year before we went to Argentina and played their junior national team. Last summer, we went to China with 2 teams and played in 2 tournaments against pro and top university teams over there. And it went really well, super organized, a lot of fun. And they're inviting us to come back again this year with a little bit of a twist. We're taking 2 teams again, but one of the teams will have a bunch of pros on it. that are actually being sponsored by some of the Chinese guys because they want to try to get some more American players in the league over there. So it's again under the BIP USA umbrella, meaning it's a semi-official USA volleyball event, and the majority of the kids will be the top collegiate kids. But we just finally nailed the dates down. We'll train in Anaheim at ASC on June 30th and July 1st, and then fly over to China together for 10 nights over there. I'll put a link to it on your guys' website. But because of the visa issues, we want to try to get the team signed up right away, so I thought I'd call in and just do a shameless plug.
You can always do that, TK. We love it. Real quick, before we let you go, we got to go to break, and we got Fergie on the other side. What do you think John Sprott does next year?
You know, that's been the question. Every year at the convention and every time I'm in the States hanging out with anybody, you know, everybody wants to know that, you know, what's Al going to do? Well, we know that now. And then who's going to take the men's job? Who's going to take the USA men's job? Who's going to take the USA women's job? And it's the same thing you guys were just talking about, yep. You know, between Karch and Spu and all these guys. I lived in Irvine a block from Sprott for a couple months when we were having our baby. And his setup at Irvine is unbelievable. You know, to be down the street from Paula Weishoff in the nice little community right there, no traffic, they can walk to the gym. It's a gorgeous campus. You know, a couple minutes to the beach. There's some semi-uncrowded beaches right there when you figure it out. And, you know, a good contract, a great support. Barney nailed it. You know, I was listening when Barney was talking about all that stuff. And there's so many little things that people don't realize. You know, the support he gets for that international tournament wouldn't be possible in any other program. And to trade all that for Westwood and the busyness and the craziness, to me, just seems crazy. But, I mean, you know, he's got to make his own decision, and he's got a lot of great options. And you know, he's the messiah right now. I can't answer your question, but I thought the dialogue was as good as it could be. You guys nailed it.
I think you hit it right on the head. You know, my thing, TK, and you played at UCLA and won national championships, so you get that. I mean, you know, it's just like all of us with our schools. There's a lot of pride for you guys that went to UCLA, you know, and I don't know what that is in terms of luring him over.
Yeah, and I don't either. I'm sure there's a big draw there. It's, you know, to come in and follow up Al and to be back at your alma mater and to be – obviously UCLA is an awesome school. It's a great athletic department. That is a great job. But, you know – I don't know. You know, we get older and you start to enjoy different things. Westwood, I wouldn't trade my college experience for anything, but I wouldn't want to be living in that hustle and bustle, you know, later when you start to enjoy, you know, your downtime and having a nice house and being able to get to the beach without killing people on the way. And I stayed with Celia a couple weeks ago and, you know, driving back and forth either to the beach or to town or home from the games, it's just pretty hectic. And the lifestyle down where Johnny is right now seems really nice. And the support that he has you know, they're a priority, like Barney said. Men's volleyball down there is the priority sport in Irvine, and that support is invaluable.
Tim Kelly, we appreciate when you call. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for having me, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thanks for killing it.
All right, Tim Kelly, live from Nicaragua. And speaking of this show streaming live,
yeah,
Matt Boyce making his bid for fifth man for this year. Streaming us live right now at 30,000 feet on a Delta flight.
That's impressive.
Nicely done by him.
And when you...
And sending us notes about it.
And when you quit, which is any day now, we're going to have to get Boyce somehow filling in.
Somebody's going to have to take over this chair.
Yeah, someone's going to have to take over this chair.
Jeremy can sit here with my computer. Maybe we'll get him to figure it out this time.
Well, if he'd stop sabotaging me, maybe it'll work.
Spin it up, Jeremy.
A little pressure
take a
on Reed Pretty, too, when he hears Barney.
Hey, we know we've got a couple of callers. We've got a caller 619 sitting in there. But we're going to have Bill Ferguson.
We got to get
coming
to Fergie. So tell 619 to hold on.
619, hang in there. We see you. We feel you.
We can't make Fergie wait.
We don't know who you are, but we're going to get to you. Bill Ferguson right on the other side of the break, The Net Live.
Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine. Volleyball Magazine has been serving the volleyball community for years with the latest in volleyball news and information, product reviews, athlete profiles, fitness, health, and travel-related features. It's published 9 times a year. Volleyball Magazine brings you the inside to the access to sport's biggest stars. Whether you're interested in the junior, collegiate, or professional level, sand or indoor, Volleyball Magazine has you covered both on and off the court. Visit us now. Do it. www.volleyballmag.com and subscribe for 1 year for only $19.99. Do that now and receive a new water bottle, a $49 value, free compliments of our friends at Naturally Energized Water Bottle Company. Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine.
You don't have to find the best college coaches. They find you at Spire Institute. Spire's postgraduate volleyball academy wants athletes. Spire delivers customized volleyball training and competition led by head coach John Hawks. Athletic development with Michael Johnson Performance and educational options all in Olympic-grade facilities. There is no better way to impress college coaches and increase scholarship opportunities. Spire Institute, postgraduate men's and women's programs in multiple sports. It's not taking a year off, it's adding a year to your future. Sign up today at spireinstitute.org. The Net Live on a Monday. Beautiful and sunny here. It was about 80 degrees yesterday in the South Bay. Hanging out by the pool. This is in January, gentlemen.
You have a pool in your backyard?
No, my in-laws have a TV. Got to get out of the house. When the power blew out, we were out. Go to the pool.
Plus, there are crazy people driving around your neighborhood, too. You got to get out of here.
Cannot stay here. Hey,
found out who 619 was.
Ojan.
He's just listening, though. He's going to come on in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Preview the Las Vegas Classic.
We're not going to talk to him today, but we have a guy we want to talk to.
You know, Kevin Barnett once said on this show, and it was the most asinine comment in the history of the Net Live, if you don't win the national championship, you did a horrible job. Well, this guy and myself, we won two together. So Barney can suck it. We have broke bread. We have been to the mountaintop. We have seen the light. And we dogpiled. He has now moved on from the club volleyball world, where he won 49 national championships. He's now with USC.
A record 49.
Went to the Final Four twice already in his young head coaching career at USC. He's got a young team that's already played the number one and two teams in the country. Played them tough. I guarantee you, the Trojans at the end of the year will be one of the teams in the hunt. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Bill Ferguson joining us.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
How about Barney dropping that in one time for you? I've just fought with him for an hour about it. If you don't win the national championship, you're doing a terrible job. That is a guy who's never done anything.
Not what I said. I said, how can it be that everybody's doing a great job? If you're not winning the national championship, you're not doing a great job. All right, that's not defensible either.
Oh, boy. Well, I thought Krzyzewski got his butt kicked a bunch before he finally won, so I'll just hope for that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Coach K, Roy Williams, they're finally good. You know, Roy Williams had a great quote after he won that national championship. Might have been Bayham, actually said, yeah, now I'm a great coach.
Well, okay. So Fergie, get it done. Stop sucking.
Fergie and I have done it.
I'm on it.
We did it together.
No, I think, Yoder lost a bunch before he won here. I think so did Coach Hicks, so... Hopefully, I'm fortunate enough, and we're fortunate enough to follow in that, in those footsteps.
Bill, you played BYU at BYU. You also played UC Irvine. They're number one and two in the country. I don't know what that feedback is. Turn off the radio. Tell me the difference between the two teams, and right now, who's the best?
Well, they're both similar in the sense that they have a really good left side pin hitter and a really solid opposite that you got to worry about. BYU, that, you know, it's Taylor Sander on the left and Rob Stoll on the right. And, not a lot of people were talking about Josue Rivera for BYU. And yeah, he didn't put up huge numbers, but we had a couple situations where he had big side outs for them. And then, you know, they're solid in the middle. You know, everybody talks about Fouti being out right now, but Rusty Lavaya is a pretty solid, no-frills middle blocker. He doesn't maybe wow you, but the guy's very good. And he takes care of what he needs to for them. So they were good in that sense. And then Irvine, same thing. They're good at the pins. You know, Carson Clark's obviously, you know, if you're like a volleyball GM, a first-round draft pick kind of guy. And you got Jeremy Dano and Kevin Tilley. And I think Tilley probably looked the most like himself again against us. You know, he had an ankle sprain when they started camp, you know, this winter. And so even when we showed our guys tape on them, you know, and watching Tilley, it was hard for our guys to get a grasp of what he's really all about. And he was he definitely jumped out at us in that match. I think he hit in the 400s or something like that. We had a lot of trouble with him.
You know, Fergie, I was going to ask you about him next. I saw Mark Presho and John Sproul last night and asked them about Tilley. They said he finally played really well and looked pretty healthy against you guys. How good can that young man be come May?
He's a player of the year kind of guy. I mean, we wanted him really bad too. I went through one of the craziest Planes, Trains, and Automobiles deals to go watch him play last year. We just, you know, I don't know where he would have ended up. I just don't think we were playing with as much money as Irvine was able to play with for him scholarship wise. But he played at a place called Thompson Rivers, which is kind of like Mammoth is to Vancouver. And I got a flight directly in there, but I had to drive back home to Vancouver in a snowstorm in the dark. And I don't drive through many of those here in Torrance. So yeah. It was a little bit harrowing and a crazy experience. But the kid's really gifted. He's just a solid all-around volleyball player. He can do everything. And I think what people saw him do, you know, in our match on Friday is what they're going to see down the line from here this year.
You know, Billy, talking to John last night, he brought this up, and I mentioned it earlier on the show. You guys already going to BYU. Most likely they're going to be the team to host the MPSF if things go as planned. How valuable will that be for you guys that you've already played there and played well there?
Big. It was great for our, you know, we're relying on a couple brand new guys, you know, and we've also got some veterans. Now, our veterans, this will be their third trip there. You know, we played there in the Final Four in 2009 and then went there and played at their place in 2010 and then this trip. So, actually, that'll be their fourth trip there.
Wow.
So, it's big time. There's not a whole lot of space to serve there because, you know, they have the seats in the end zones and those foam-like signage things there. So it's a little bit of a small environment. They packed the place the first night. I think they had 5,000-plus. It was one of their top 10 attendance matches of all time, I think, from what somebody told me. And then we had 4,000-plus the second night. So we will have been in that environment. And the nice thing is I thought served really well on the second night. We served okay the first night, but the second night we were good. Both you know, Micah, Tony, and Tanner Jansen, all three served really well, and that was really without letting off the gas. I think we were a little more conservative the first night, and then second night we were a little more aggressive, and that helped us out big time. So having had some serving success up there, you know, forget about all the experience and all that stuff and traveling, knowing the hotel, the trip, the timing and all that's one thing. But, you know, you get up there and you always talk about serving with the limited runway and the altitude that for us to have success at the service line was big for us.
Fergie, let's get to headset gate quickly because we talked a lot about it last week.
Yeah.
We're talking about BYU. Just kind of take us through how it went down and has there been talk of it since? And I heard that they haven't used them, so I'm not sure what went on.
Yeah. You know, when I was hired, I saw the national team doing it and internationally, you know, teams were doing it. And, you know, when I got here, I was obviously thinking on the plane, like, how can we maximize what we're doing? And so I asked about it, wasn't sure if I was going to actually do it or not, but, you know, I was met with a resounding no and kind of laughed at like I was a heretic for even asking. And so, okay, that was it. There wasn't, you know, the women have an NC2A rule book and for volleyball, and everybody goes by that same rule book. In the men's game, we go primarily by the USAV rule book and then tweak some of the things that, you know, to our advantage, you know, like the warm-up and protocol and, you know, maybe timeouts where the coach sits on the bench, all those kinds of small things that we all tweak in the men's game to kind of, you know, do what we feel makes our product better. And in the rule book, it states that every rostered coach must sit on the bench. And that was something I knew inherently just from being involved with USA Volleyball at the club level and, you know, just being around for a long time. And so, but I wasn't really, you know, I couldn't pull that out like right when I saw it. You know, when the match started, I saw the battery pack on Chris and thought, cool, they were going to mic him for BYU TV. Thought it was great. You know, how cool people are going to be able to hear him in the huddle with he and his dad and Rob and Mike and, you know, good for volleyball. I kind of looked and saw he had an earpiece and figured, God, what the heck does he need that for? And then I looked up and I saw Carl sitting up in the, you know, above the stands. Went right to the R2, told him, hey, they're going to be mic'd and talking, and that's not cool. I asked about that a few years back, and I was told no, that it's not legal. The R2 tells me, he said, hey, I understand what you're saying, but, you know, there's been dialogue between BYU and the head of officials and Al Beard who's our conference commissioner, and they green-lighted it. He says, I have an email saying it's okay to do, and I said, well, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is, we'll do it, but I'm just telling you right now, it's, you know, I think something's wrong here. So, I sent an email, you know, we played the match, and, you know, I, whether the headsets were, you know, a factor or not, I largely think that was them playing well and us not quite being up to the task that night. But, you know, whatever the situation may be, I just felt like it was an unfair advantage. I mean, if they were going to do it, great. But, you know, either I had been left off an email chain or all of the coaches had been left off the email chain. And, so that was the part that was frustrating for me. I, you know, if Chris and his staff and administration had gone through the right process and asked the league said yes, so they did it. And what I was disappointed in, there was no real transparency with the league with any of the other coaches. So I sent an email to the league and the head of officials and copied all the head coaches and said, hey, this is what happened. This is, you know, I'm unaware of anything that says this is illegal, and, you know, I know that all rostered coaches are supposed to be on the bench. Where did this get missed? And so the bottom line is our lack of probably having a finite NC2A volleyball rule book, you know, was partially to blame. I think there was the lack of you know, transparency was to blame, since no one else was able to say, hey, you know, I happen to know that rule. I basically had about 30 seconds to try to pull it out of my head, and I couldn't pull that exact part out. I just, you know, my focus was getting my team ready to play the match. So that's what we focused on, sent the letter that night, and they ruled immediately that it was not, that through the end of the year it was not going to be legal for anybody to do it, and that, you know, and that they'd revisit it in a league meeting in May.
Gotcha.
Fergie, and that's where we are.
Let's take out the surprise factor of it and the legality or illegality and look at that future decision. Is this something you would be in favor of? Do you feel that it presents an advantage? Because Chris was here last week defending the position that it gives an unfair advantage to the other team if they have someone on the opposing team's side in the stands. And I disagree because I see it done internationally all the time, and I don't think it matters. What's your opinion?
Well, To address your point where you've got both sides on, you know, there is an advantage when one team can see both sides. You know, if both teams have guys on either end line, you know, the only time you're going to have any unfairness, or if you will, is if, you know, the match goes three and you get one coach behind one team twice, which is theoretically your own coach, where we had just, we also had no end line view. I mean, we all know that that's the best view to watch a game from a coach's standpoint. So, you know, we have limited access to saying, you know, hey, is my right side blocker picking up their left side hitter's attack line well enough? You know, those kinds of things. They were able to get that communication in. We were not. So while they do it internationally and while I understand your point, one team doing it versus another team not, then I think they're, you know, yeah, if they're both up there, you know, wonderful, then great. Then we all have, then we're all playing the same game. But to answer your first question, the professionalism side of it and the wanting to be as good as we possibly can side of it wants to do it. However, I'm a capitalist by almost every stretch of the imagination, and I, you know, I'm kind of a, hey, succeed on your own, do the best you can. But in this situation, I think you're dealing, I don't want to say has and have nots. I think that sounds kind of petty, but not everybody's going to be able to do it. You know, you look up at Santa Barbara, Rick's got what, one paid assistant. So is he going to sit there by himself with Mansfield in the end zone? And what end zone are you going to sit in and Rob Jim? What end zone are you going to sit in at the Matadome? What end zone are you going to sit in at Pepperdine? Then, you know, you talk to, you know, I spoke with Mark Pavlik and Pete Hansen both on that issue the following Monday morning, and wanted to get their views on it. And, you know, they thought about the same thing, facilities issues, and then staffing issues. While they do it internationally, and that is the gold standard, not everybody that plays NC2A men's volleyball has enough staff to be able to do it. Not every venue is vetted by, you know, the NC2A to say you have to have these absolute specifications every time you play a match like you do in the FIVB. So with those two factors in there, I think it's pretty tough to do. And, you know, I can, you know, being here at SC and a couple of us at other big-time schools, sure, we can be Ronald Reagan and spend the Russians into bankruptcy, but how good is that going to be for our game in the long run? You know, and is that a battle we want to fight right now? So to answer your question, it would be I'm for it in a purist sense, but I don't think it's very practical for our game right now.
All right, Billy, moving on. We had you on a lot last spring and didn't get to talk to you after the Final Four. When you look back on that, in the year you guys had was tremendous, but you came up short against UCSB in that semifinal. What did you learn from that match or from that weekend, and what did you take with you?
You can't control everything. We tried to have a great deal, you know, when you're a coach, you try to have a great deal of control on almost everything you do, from travel to your day-to-day to, you know, and you try to control your environment and make sure everything is as close to the same as humanly possible. Part of that was, first of all, I mean, Santa Barbara was the better team that night. There's no question. They earned it. They beat us, and that's on us, you know. And kudos to them. We had a couple situations pop up that had never happened throughout the year, and a couple situations where things that, you know, we had made some mitigation plans in case, you know, someone wasn't doing one thing or the other. I think most people point to one thing or the other, but I think what got lost on the whole thing was Santa Barbara's passing. They were, at the beginning of the year, one of the teams I was most afraid of, because when you looked across the net physically, they were the only team that was as big as we were and as physical as we were. And we played them early in the season at Rob Jim. I forget whether it was 3 or 4, but we beat them. But I think the scores were 22-22 and 24. And that last set, Cullen Irons got on fire and killed us. And we ended up, you know, getting away with it and getting out of there, I think, in 3 or 4. But it was a tough match. So play them at the end of the year, you know, that wasn't their best night. I think they were tired. You know, we played pretty well. I think it was our senior night, too.
Yeah.
And then we get to them in the playoffs, and they were good. Menzel was way better. But serving them was really difficult because you could count on getting 2 or 3 big points a set against them serving. at the beginning of the year. And we could serve certain seams in certain rotations and count on a free point, or at least a zero ball situation. That wasn't happening at the end of the year. So do you float serve them and have them be completely in system, or do you go back and just serve the daylights out of the ball and hope to get them out of system that way? So while people saw us having gigantic serving issues, people, Tony wasn't having his best game attacking, but Tony was the only guy serving them somewhat out of system. So yeah. It's, hey, do you take, you know, do you make a decision to take Tony out of the game and lose your in that match at that period of time, your best server? Do you take your guy Murph out or change what he's doing? He'd never had a match like that.
Yeah.
And at what point did you, at the point where you knew we were in trouble, it was, okay, now we got to get points. So,
sure.
You know, what do? You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. And then the other thing was, in the MPSF tournament final, Jeff Menzel and Scott Slaughter destroyed us. Those two guys absolutely killed us. We changed our matchups and changed our game plan and for the most part, mitigated Menzel and Slaughter. And if you look at it, Dylan Davis and Irons were the guys that absolutely killed us. If you go back and look at the match, I don't think Menzel got to 300. I think he was in the low twos, and Slaughter was statistically for him far less than he had been. So, we had gone and made some changes, and those other two guys stepped up. Valbuena had great numbers, but, at one point you got to figure out which battles you're going to fight and which you're going to not. And we were like, okay, we're not going to concentrate a ton on him. He's going to get numbers, and he did. And hats off to Trey. He's, neat kid. Was fortunate enough to work with him in club. And he had a great night for them, too, which is, he didn't give us any gimmies. And then those other two guys really stepped up to the plate. And then McGuire was absolutely phenomenal. And, that made things tough from the service line, too. He took so much court on a float and was taking so much court and the seams that it made it really tough to serve him. And Valbuena was going to be solid, and Menzel had upped his game. So you had all those little things that I didn't hear a lot of people catch or talk about that was, absolutely the most gut-wrenching moment of my career, no question. Our guys, I felt awful for them. They had done everything absolutely right all year, and it just didn't happen for them, and I felt terrible for them because they really did put in the work. If you saw what our travel was that to get there, we left, our flight left the ground at 6 in the morning, and our bus pulled up to Penn State at 11:05 at night, and not one guy said a word about it. We basically flew, I think, L.A. to Indy, Indy to Pittsburgh, Indy to Philly, Philly back over State College,
something,
and then like a four-hour bus ride. It was pretty radical what we had to do, but not one guy said a word. We got off the bus and did our thing and took care of business. And, the Wednesday practice before the finals was probably our best practice of the year.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, it was great. I'm sitting there going, gosh, we're in good shape. I can't imagine we're not ready for something.
Well, Bill, thanks for sharing that. We hate to take you down that memory lane, but of course, as a coach, you always get better from it. You're listening to Bill Ferguson on the Net Live. Ferguson, let's talk about this team and where you guys been. But before we get to your setter, I want to talk about him. I want to talk about Tony. Real quick about Taylor Sander. You had mentioned him from BYU. I believe you went 6 of 9 or 6 of 10 in that fifth set. Just how good can this kid be?
He's a freak. he was 6 of 10 with no errors, and not only that, but if you looked at that, and Tony, I think Tony was 5 of 10 with one error, and his one error was a ball that one of our middles set that was like 4 feet outside the pin, and he actually went high hands, and they just did a good job stuffing it. And I don't think you're going to see two outside hitters put on a show like Tony and Taylor did in that fifth set. It was phenomenal. You're sitting on the bench going, this is cool to be a part of it. And, but Taylor, let's just put it to this way. How many times do you triple commit on a BIC? that was match point. And he still got set, and he still put it away. Wow. He went
you
OT.
Tip your hat at that point, don't you?
Pardon me?
You got to tip your hat at that point.
Oh, yeah. You know, we threw everything we had at the net at him, and we, you know, adjusted our back row, and he still, you know, still got a kill on it. He, you know, he was phenomenal that weekend, and I heard he was phenomenal against Irvine, and from what we saw on tape, he just does some things. He it's funny, he can hang in the air. Not only does he get up, you watch him, and he jumps, and he kind of gets to where you think is his peak, and then all of a sudden he just goes a little bit further. Yeah. You're like, okay, great. What am I supposed to do with that? And there's just not a lot of people with his athletic ability. And to see him do that and to see Tony do what he did, I mean, you're talking about two of the best outside hitters in the league on the biggest stage absolutely going off and carrying their teams. And it was really cool to see and be a part of. And we got a lot of compliments from the BYU folks on what a great match it was. And it really was a good match. If it's a shame that they televised the BYU San Diego State or Pepperdine, who has a basketball game or something like that night. But I guess the first night came off pretty good on TV. I haven't seen the telecast, but I certainly wish they would have done the second night, because that match was real good all the way around.
Hey, Fergie, you know, you had Riley McKibben set in for you for, what, 4 years, and now you got a young kid from Hawaii. You got a nice Hawaii pipeline working. Tell us about this young man and how he's coming along.
His name is Micah Christensen, and he's doing a phenomenal job. He's the kid's a winner. He went to Kamehameha High School, and he led both in his senior year. He led his basketball team to the state championship, and he led his volleyball team to the state championship. Pretty phenomenal young man. He can do everything on the court. If you know, for Kamehameha, he played opposite almost the entire year just because they needed him to do that for his team. And if I've got it correct, for the state championship tournament, they moved him outside. So he basically won a state championship playing two secondary positions for him. And in basketball, if I have it correct, yeah, he was they ran the Dallas Mavericks offense, and he was Dirk. So they basically just got him the ball wherever they could, and over there he's, you know, 6'5", he's a pretty big four, and he moves real fluid, and he's a neat kid, phenomenal parents. I think the thing that some people are missing on these kids nowadays that come through the USA pipeline is he's gone through two world championship cycles. So he's played in two NORSECA qualifier tournaments and two world championships before he stepped foot on our campus. So when you look at all of, you hear the coaches come on the show and talk about international players and how many international matches they have under their belt, you get some of these kids that have been on the junior and youth national teams. I mean, they've got, Mike has probably got, 20 international matches under his belt. And that, that's a pretty big deal. So he's one of those guys that's really poised. He keeps his cool. There was one play, BYU in the fifth set, BYU, went up 12-10. We call a timeout. We're in row one. We got Tony on the right. We had Ben Lamb, who had put in, who's a true freshman, in the middle, and Tanner Jansen on the left. And, Tanner wasn't the greatest guy on the left. He's a better right side attacker. You got Tony, who's having an unbelievable match, and you got Ben Lamb, who came in and hit 8-something. So we're coming, and Mahalski's lighting it up on the Bick. So we're like, hey, push looks good. Bick looks good. Overhead's great. We didn't even talk about Tanner in the timeout. No offense to Tanner. So we get on the floor, and we're thinking push, Bick, or red. And Micah fires the go, and Tanner goes showtime, and we side out, and I kind of look out on the floor, and he just looks at me and winks.
Love it.
So, that's kind of the way he is. And it wasn't a cocky thing. It was a, hey, I know I probably gave you a heart attack, coach, but I got it. So,
good to hear
kind of insight of him.
some of those players are getting international matches. That's so important, and something we talk about when we compare the European programs and the U.S. programs. And B.J. Evans, USA Volleyball, making a note here saying that Micah was the setter on both the youth and the junior teams a couple of years ago. That's important stuff for those young players to know what the real world of volleyball looks like. One more thing before we let you go here. We want to talk on this program a little bit about the assistant coach issue, where assistant coaches are looking for head coaching jobs or even other assistant coach jobs, and they really have to tell their employer what's going on. It's like telling your boss, hey, you know, I want a different job, but if I don't get a different job, I'm still going to stay here. How do you as a head coach deal with that kind of situation? What are your thoughts on that weird dynamic?
Well, you're going to the JJ situation with us, obviously, and then and probably the Niffen situation with Irvine going to Illinois. I can speak to my specific situation with JJ, and that when we hired him and I had talked to him, and I don't know if people realize, but I coached JJ in club back in '94 and had a pretty good relationship with him, and for a long time I'd been a candidate for two head coaching positions, and had both times had, you know, neither of them happened, but both times had JJ was my first call. He was a guy I knew that was going to be a great coach someday, and I liked the way he thought, and I liked the way he handled himself as a player. And then when I saw him as a young assistant, I thought he did a phenomenal job. And then so I was finally fortunate enough to get him here at SC, and he came in at a great time for us. I really needed some help, and you know, with the setters, and just he did a phenomenal job. But in the talks, you know, he wanted to eventually be a women's head coach, and if there was an assistant job that came up for him, that, you know, it was going to have to be a really tight fit and a perfect fit. And for those that don't know JJ, he, even though he's grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii, he's a guy, he likes being in the mountains. He loves snowboarding. He loves dirt bike riding, and which is probably why you guys connect, Barney.
Yeah.
You know, he's an outdoors guy and loves the mountains. Me, I've the only mountains I like are in Tahiti and Hawaii when they're right next to the ocean. But it was a perfect situation. He's able to go to the University of Utah. Beth is a great gal and a good coach. She's been there 22 years. She's been the president of the ABCA. She's connected at every level. They're a school that just joined the Pac-12 and is putting a ton of resources into women's volleyball. And it was a situation where this is going to be JJ's final launching pad to be a head women's coach. And, you know, one of the things, you know, I told the team, you know, was I equate it to someday my daughter's going to have to go away to college and it's going to kill me, but it's the right thing to do for her. And so for JJ, it was absolutely the right thing. We saw it coming down the pike. And it really was a tough thing emotionally for me, you know, having known him and going way back and the job he's done here, which was, I mean, just phenomenal. So that part was very tough. But, you know, in the end, as a human being, it is the absolute right thing for him to do for him and his family. And we will miss him, and Utah will be far better for having him. That's for darn sure.
So JJ is going to Utah. Who replaces him?
He's there right now. Cameron Green's going to pinch hit. So for those that don't know, Cam's been involved with our staff for the last 3 years.
Got a Miracosta and a Matador.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So he's he and Geeter have some past.
Roommate, by the way.
You did. I'm sure you probably guys probably have a couple of stories to tell someday, but that's for a different time and a place. But
I tried to steal his girlfriend, but anyway. Tried.
But no, Cam has been with our program for 3 years in a couple different roles leading up to this year. He was not on staff this year. He was working for our club at SCVC full-time as our club director for both the boys and the girls. So he was nearby, very familiar with everything we do And so we're really fortunate that he was able to step in and pinch hit here for us. So I think if you're going to be in this situation, it was the most ideal of the situations that we could have. So we still have to go through the formal hiring process and all of that. But, yeah, for right now he's pinch hitting, and he's probably going to end up being the long-term situation there. But, yeah, we're real happy with him.
All right, Ferg, you did a fantastic job. 40 minutes solid of just complete domination. Last thing before we let you go, you're starting your team. You got one game to play. Are you taking Taylor Sander or Reed Pretty right now, one match?
How's Reed's face?
Fine.
Is he not like able to? Well, the last I heard, he was like worrying about like orbital bones and, you know, vision. Is he at 100%?
He's still handsome. He's back.
He's still handsome. He's back. We haven't talked to him in months, but, you know, Taylor's the next Reed Pretty, apparently, so I want to know who you take right now, one game. It's like Kobe or LeBron.
Right now, one game right now, I got to take Reed.
Okay, good. You're smart.
I mean,
he's probably listening.
What?
He's probably listening somewhere in, like, Germany.
God, I remember coaching club when the guy was a setter. I mean, what was going on with that?
I don't know. And then the McLaughlin brothers were fighting over him. Back to one.
The dude's got a cannon, man. I don't know how it is nowadays in comparison to the guys he's playing against, but guy's got a quick arm.
He does have a quick arm, bud. Well, good stuff, Fergie.
Thanks, Fergie.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Answers from Billy Ferguson. We appreciate that. Fergie, go get it done, bud. We'll talk to you in a couple months when it gets close.
I'll try to go make myself a success in Barney's eyes.
Yeah, what a loser that guy is. Never won anything. You and I have titles to talk about.
Oh, my goodness.
Colorado.
We'll have you back anytime. Great job.
Thanks, Barney. Appreciate it.
All right, see you.
Thanks, Geet.
See you later, Ferg.
Take care, man.
Championship, you're doing nothing in this sport. If you're not winning a title, you're a loser.
You're a two-time title winner, Geeter, defending champion. We'll see how good you are this year.
Can you bump that up to four? Can you bump that up to four JOs in one festival, so five national champs? Can you bump that up, or you just want to give me just two I've won the last years?
On the other side of
the break.
What about
the boys' ones? I've won two boys' JOs. You going to forget those?
ABCA, College Volleyball Weekly, coming up.
You've won nothing.
Hey, I got
I know
a European championship, Belgian championship, Austrian championship.
You won a championship in Belgium?
Yeah.
Did that count for anything? Exactly.
It's
does
Belgium.
It?
Belgium.
No, but it counts.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But if you didn't win it, would you be a loser?
Hey, I won my motos 3 weeks ago.
I told his wife, I said, oh, my God, what do you think about these trophies? She's like, don't remind me.
Uh-huh.
He has two Supercross trophies. One he won, legit. The other one, he was the only guy in the race.
And
how do you get a trophy when you're the only guy in the race? We'll talk about it on the other side of this.
In the bed.
Now that the women's season has wrapped up, make sure you stay tuned to the ABCA website and social media sites for the spring men's volleyball season. Whether it's our weekly blog, top 15 polls, or national players of the week, the American Volleyball Coaches Association remains the central source for everything men's volleyball. So check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at ABCA Volleyball all season long.
Good. Not even 15 minutes later, I'm still walking on the street.
Welcome back in. The Net Live here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. Kevin sitting in with Geeter and DJ Roche. Just finished up talking to Billy Ferguson, head coach at USC. Great, you know, 40 minutes spent with him.
Great 40 minutes. And I think what it all comes down to, and we're not going to harp on this much, but I think Barney is still upset that he couldn't win a junior college state championship with Jason Ring on his team. I think that that's
ultimately what it comes down to. We went 20-0 my first season. I was riding the bench, serving sub. 20-0.
Yep.
Lost 3 straight in the final.
Yeah.
Had never lost the first set of a match the entire season.
Wow.
Second season, 18-2.
Sure.
I'm a star.
Uh-huh.
Jason Ring's a star.
That's a
Dan Nash.
Danny Nash with the stripper girlfriend?
You got it.
Cal State Northridge alum? God bless him.
Great. Oh, Christina.
Oh, man, that was a good time.
She was hot. Anyways.
That's a great team.
18-2.
Uh-huh.
Go to the semis.
Who'd you lose to?
Golden West.
Scotty Lane?
Scotty Lane won a couple
state championships, no. I believe, so I thought.
Yeah, I don't think
Golden West
time.
Dominated,
Maybe.
Though, didn't they?
That was the beginning of a run for Golden West. Uh-huh. We were the better team. We blew it. Jason Ring, worst match I think he had in his junior college career. It was ugly.
Doesn't mean you're not doing a great job. Doesn't mean you're a loser. Just means you didn't win on that day, buddy.
You didn't win, so you must not have done a good job.
There it is.
Well, we didn't do a good
there's
job.
There's the quote.
We didn't do a good
a
job in that
match.
From a
guy who knows nothing about coaching.
If everyone was doing a great job,
there it is,
then everyone would win the championship every year.
It's an amazing drop. Thank you, Jim. He's embarrassed right now when you play that.
Upset.
If you guys could see his look every time, Jeremy, he wishes he could reach back, take it back, and just never say it.
I can't believe I gave Jeremy the audio for that. I could have just sat on that forever, made him search for it.
We're into that because we're horny for volleyball.
Sorry.
You like that one, too.
Now you're just emptying the gun over.
What else do you want here?
Fire away.
I'm just saying.
Where's Pretty? You promised me Pretty.
Where's Pretty? You promised me he'd be on the show today.
That's Kent Steffes wanting a piece of Reed Pretty.
Oh, Kent Steffes. We hear from you every week.
Sorry, Carge.
I'll just keep hitting
it. Where's Phil kind of saying that he is by far the most dominant Beijing team in the land?
I can't argue that we're the best team in the world.
That doesn't even make sense. I can't argue that we're the best team in the world.
You can't argue
that you're not the best team in the world.
Leave the beast alone, Barney. Do you want to go after him, too? He's top six all time.
I love beating Brazil.
That could be my favorite quote. Yeah. I'm on board with that, Phil.
I like Misty's. I'm retired, people.
No. I'm not retired.
I'm not retired, people.
Uh-huh. You heard it. Okay.
Then they got mad at you.
Sometimes this show goes off the rails.
What are you talking about?
This show goes off the rails.
You know, Jay Hossack made a good point. Do we talk about Phil and Todd getting sponsored yet?
No.
We can talk about it right now. Did you see the gear?
It's the golf company.
Yeah, Loudmouth Apparel.
Loudmouth.
Primitive Printish.
It's just funny because Phil and Todd, we got to get Todd on here to talk about that because it's not really Phil and Todd. But.
I saw the commercial on Facebook and those shorts were horrific.
Yeah, I mean, John Daly's worn it on the golf course. And all I'm hoping, and I talked to
Payne Stewart was still with us. He'd wear that stuff.
No question about it. And then I talked to Aaron about this because, you know, they were wearing autonomous and stuff. So I'm like, they're getting paid. He's like, yeah, it's a bummer, but obviously I'm happy for them because, you know, they've got to be getting paid. I don't know the number. We need to find out. But hopefully it's a large number. I don't know how much money that company has.
I think it was on the back of the latest volleyball magazine issue. There's an advertisement on the back with Phil. And he's wearing a pair of Loudmouth shorts that weren't as obnoxious as they were in the commercial.
I've seen Phil on the golf course.
Philip?
At an Oakley golf event in Las Vegas a few years back. It was amazing watching him out there. So we, you know, that he's got a golf sponsor really is what excites me.
But he plays volleyball.
He does.
Professionally.
He does. And he's very good at it. And I can't wait to look at their run this year and see how far they can go and watch it.
That will be talked about a lot on air when they're playing, if they're wearing just horrific shorts.
The Olympics you can't, right? You got to wear the uni.
What uni?
Do you have the USA gear?
Yeah, you have the tank, but you're...
Can you wear any shorts?
I thought your boys, they just had to be certain colors.
There's some requirements. I'm not sure what it is, but there's some requirements.
Well, yeah, it's got to be just past your...
They have to be an inch.
Just past the horse and carriage. I mean, they wear nutters out there on the FIVB, Barney. Sorry, FCC, who cares?
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, your satchel.
That's the way it is. Marble bag.
Yeah, it's just those shorts are amazing. So I know whatever shorts they will wear will be mid-thigh.
And that's just the way it's going to be. And they will be having some type of
I would love
protection
to see
underneath
J-Row with some mid-thigh boardies.
I have great thighs.
Oh, now the show's really off the rails.
What? Did you, Can we please make that a sound drop?
Sure.
Good.
I do. They're white as your laptop computer because that part of my leg never sees the sun.
You're ever. A DJ. No part of you ever sees the sun.
First of all, Kevin.
We got to move on here because we're getting way off track.
Hate everybody. You don't want to talk about my thighs?
Yeah, because this is better.
Yeah, I want to talk about the BYU Cougars and their continuing reign at number one in the AVCA poll. So we vowed to open once again the AVCA College Volleyball Week to the best that was and will be in the world of college volleyball. It's the men. It's the Cougars. It's all about Provo and being Mormon. The Gator nearly dies.
That was good.
We're going to bring in our correspondents, Jay Hossick and Mike Sondheimer.
Barney, I can't wait to tell Jay what John's bra said last night at that barbecue.
Jay's been all over. He's heard all about it. And we're going to shut down.
What was said last night, Gator?
My goodness.
John Sproul was saying that he thinks the Penn State Nittany Lions are very, very good. I mean, they're like that's a good team. Like, they're in the conversation. I thought you would like to hear that.
Uh-oh, no more flying under the radar, huh?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, you were the one.
Hey, Sondi, are you back in another drive-thru or something?
No, I'm waiting for a lesson to honor Al Skates on his 50 years of service at Sportscaster. Chris McGill get retired at for his ability.
I cannot wait for that, Sondi. You just played your way right into my heart. Jay, I wanted to talk seriously real quick to you about a more serious issue of the passing of Joe Paterno, someone you knew, and just what that has been like to be around Penn State over the last week or so.
Well, let's clarify. I didn't necessarily know Joe Paterno at all. I know of his legacy, and I know what the things he's done around campus. You know, the unfortunate situation that happened, obviously, his name will always be, you know, mentioned with such high regard, and unfortunately will always have the but statement that follows it. But, you know, the people that know and love Joe Paterno and know what he's done for this university and all the great people that he's touched and all the lives that he's impacted, it's easy to see why people are so enamored with him and just love what he stood for. And so I think his long-lasting memory will always be very positive here and will always be remembered with such high regard and just... He was an awesome guy and was very supportive of everything Penn State, and that's one of the great things about being here.
Sondi, let's take it back to volleyball here. UCI, you said we'd really find out what they were made of this past week. They defeated Pepperdine 3-1 and SC 3-1. Those are the two matches you gave us. What are your thoughts about UCI now?
I think they have a very fine team. They may have the best outside hitting combo in the country when they're on, and I think that they're going to keep getting better. I think right now, it's a 3 or 4 team race. I think we'll find out a lot about Pepperdine when they get a chance at home against UCLA on Wednesday. They're playing very well. It's a great young team, and UCLA has won 20 straight sets right now. It's playing out of their mind. Their block is as good as anybody in the country right now.
The new AVCA poll just out. Number one, BYU remains. Number two, UC Irvine. Number three, UCLA. Those are unchanged. Southern Cal climbs to number four, and Penn State makes a huge jump to number five from number eight.
Agree.
Jay, about this. At Stanford and UOP, those are your two big matches. You were picking those. You guys won them both.
Yeah, we liked a lot of stuff that was going on this week in practice, and you know, it was an opportunity for us to kind of see all the fruits of our labor. And Stanford's really, really good, and you know, Lawson's an awesome outside hitter, and they got a good setter. I think Evan Berry does a nice job moving the ball around. I heard we had left on Saturday after our match against Pacific, but I'd heard he had gotten some kind of an injury, and I hope he's okay. And obviously showed you keeps them in system an awful lot, and our scouting report was basically stay away from this kid at all costs. So Stanford, a worthy opponent, and UOP is doing really good things. They're picking their program up. I would hope, and I'm gunning for them because Jonah Carson obviously is a good friend of mine and a kid that I coached when I was at Santa Cruz. They are just doing some really good things up there, and they're going to be hopefully in the hunt for a playoff spot this year. I'd really love to see them do it. So, yeah, good weekend for us. We're happy with it, but you know, now it's on to the next week's opponents.
Sondi, Ohio State, the defending champs, had kind of a split week defeating Pacific, but then going down to number four Stanford, although in five. Is this a team that's kind of just still trying to find itself this year?
I think that the Midwest is wide open. I think right now Lewis is maybe showing as the best team. Ohio State's going to be right there, and Loyola Chicago, when they get everything set with their lineup. I think there's three really good teams, and I think Penn State's a dominant team. George Mason's playing better in the East. And I think when you get back to USC first week of May, that East and Midwest team are going to have a shot at the two West teams, if that's what it ends up being. And USC gets their real shot. They've really had a battle on the road. They've played tough, but they get UCLA at home on Friday. And I think it's, you know, Fergie was telling you, I mean, he's got Cirelli, he's a good outside hitter, as well as in the country. Christmas is coming along, et cetera. I think there's just so much balance in the country. That's the nice thing.
Yeah, your UCLA Bruins coming off a couple of good victories, defeating number 9 Cal State Northridge 3-0. That's 3-0, Geeter. And also number 15, Barber 3-0. UCLA seems like a team that really has potential here for finishing Al off on the top.
Well, they're playing better and better. I mean, Caldwell at 6'8 setting is just doing a really nice job, and UCLA is putting up a huge block. And I think that will be a real good test to see what the Pepperdine and USC, who has very good outside hitters, can do. As UCLA is on the road for the next month. They've got to go to Hawaii, they've got to go to Long Beach, Northridge, Santa Barbara, before they come back home. And if we're talking about this at the end of February, then it could be a UCLA, BYU, Irvine-type race for the top.
Jay, we've been talking on this program a little bit about assistant coaches looking for head coach jobs. Dennis Hohenschelt from the women's side there at Penn State just accepted a job at Virginia at UVA.
Yep.
How's that equation for you as an assistant? Are you looking to move on? Does Pav know that that's just sort of part of the job? How does that unique relationship get viewed, head coach to assistant coach?
You know, I think it's different for a lot of programs, but here's what I suffice to say. Having been a head coach before, and knowing what it takes and liking being in that control position, I think a lot of assistant coaches, if they, let's say they will from a head coach to an assistant coach position because of a, just a job lateral move, I think it's an inherent notion that that is a real possibility for the future. And kind of a funny story, when I got the job out here, when I was flown out on my interview weekend, you know, Pav, one of the first things literally that came out of his mouth, he said, you know, welcome to Happy Valley. By the way, if you're looking to take over my job, I'm not leaving anytime soon. And so it was just one of those things. And he knows that I love it here, and I love who I work with, and I love this university, and I definitely want to stay here as long as absolutely possible. Someday down the line, hopefully longer than sooner, I'm going to have an opportunity that will pop up, and I'll decide at that moment. But for the time being, I love it here. And I think every head coach knows when you bring on somebody, over the time that they're there, they're gonna find that they probably like the taste and want to give it a shot someday to be a head coach. And I think they all know that it's inherent, it's going to happen sometime. It's just whether or not they can afford to keep them there. Obviously, money factor comes into play, and at the women's game, it's probably a little easier to stay longer, where the assistant coaching positions probably pay almost double what a lot of the guys are making on the men's side. But what all guys will tell you is that the lifestyle of the men's coach is much easier than the lifestyle of a women's coach, and has no slam against the amount of hard work that we do. It's just not nearly as, laterally crazy, so to speak, with the recruiting trips being, you know, every month you're going two or three different places and you're doing these home business.
Yeah.
And so it's just the way that it works. And so I think we all want to stay as long as possible, but financially it becomes tougher for us down the line.
Hey, listen, Jay, Jersey is not that far from where you're at. There's some guys that are taking care of Pav want to stay in that job for a while. Maybe incentivize him to move on.
You know, I bet you, I think Pav has made no secret about this. If he, when he does decide to retire from this position, he wants to be the volunteer guy that sits behind the goal in our Penn State hockey program and be the guy that pushes the button for the horn. So I think he's always going to have a place here.
Well, I think actually it's already been set up by Carl McGowan. He can actually be the guy with the headset talking to you.
That'd be kind of fun. I mean, again, if you can get people like that at quality behind your bench helping you out, I would take that in a heartbeat.
Hey, guys, Sonny, I'll start with you. When did Cal Baptist start to be a team that people played and had some success? I don't know if they had some European guys or Brazilian guys, but I know they made their mark maybe the late 90s or early 2000s. And talk about them now becoming a program at the D1 level.
Well, they've always been good. The thing is, they had NAIA recruiting, which allowed them to get a lot of international players that now they're going to be NCAA Division II, so that's going to have a little bit of a change for the future. But I think it's good for the any program that can come in, a program like the MPSF that just strengthens volleyball, I think the Eastern Conference is going to be better now. They're all Division One. And I have to say goodbye because I have to get off to my luncheon, but I congratulate Jay on a great week, and I'll tell Al Skate you're not a candidate for his job since you're going to stay for Pat for a little while longer.
I think I'm a little low on the totem pole, but thanks, Sunday. I appreciate the kudos.
I wish you guys the best, but I'm looking forward to SC UCLA and East Lake Pepperdine this week. Take care.
See you, Sonny.
Bye-bye.
Jeter, dead air?
I'm here.
No, we got Jay here.
There is no dead air when us three are on the run. It's all good.
Jay, give us your take on Cal Baptist. Did they lose their coach recently?
Yes. Ryan McGuire was the head coach there for both programs, and it was my understanding that the grind was just really getting heavy for him, especially because, you know, he was dealing with scholarships in both programs, and assistant coaches, although I think one was full-time, he was doing a lot of the work himself, and so I think his family kind of said, hey, it might be time for you to downshift a little bit, and so he stepped away. And Alan Vince, old UCLA player, has stepped in, and one of their old players is his assistant. And you know, they're kind of it's kind of a trial by fire, but Alan's doing what he can, and he's learning along the way, like most head coaches do for their first real job. And you know, Cal Baptist joining the MPSF is a great move for obvious reasons. But I think, you know, once they get the hang of the whole scholarship thing, because the NAIA had scholarship rules that allow for more scholarships than any MPSF team, which is why they were so successful, is that they were getting kids that were, you know, really, really good players for a lot of money because they could afford it. But now they're going to be on the 4.5 range, and so I think it's going to take them a little bit to kind of get it under their feet. But once they do, there's no reason they can't be like a Pepperdine, where it's a small little religious school, they've got good facilities, and really good administration support, and it's a nice campus. There's no reason they can't be like a Pepperdine, whether or not, you know, that remains to be seen. But I think that could be their direction of their niche.
What do we got to look forward to this week?
You got a few matches. I think there's a couple from the EIBA that are going on. Princeton's going out and is going to play Cal Baptist. In fact, that's today. And they're also going out to play UC San Diego. And I'd like to see where Princeton stands. I know they're an up-and-coming program, but Sam Schweisky, the coach for Princeton, is doing some really good things for them and is going out in the recruiting trail and finding them. So I want to see what happens there. As for the MEVA, Loyola is playing Ball State. That should be a good match. And Ohio State's coming out to our place this weekend for kind of a flip-flop of what happened last week, and they're going to play Cal Baptist on Friday. That's going to be a good match. And then the MPSF, the matches I'm looking forward to Stanford-BYU. I'd like to see what goes on out there. UCLA-USC absolutely is going to be a big match. That's going to get a lot of people shaken for that. And my sleeper one of the week, I'm going to call UOP over University of Hawaii. I think that's going to be a match that Hawaii right now is struggling a little bit. They're you know, they're beating some teams, but I think that they are kind of figuring some things out. And UOP is on the rise. So I'm going to call UOP over University of Hawaii. That's going to be my sleeper of the week.
We gave you the top five. That finished out with Penn State, number 6, Lewis, 7, Stanford, 8, Pepperdine, 9, Ohio State, 10, Northridge, trying to edge their way out to the top 10, Long Beach State, 11, Pacific, Loyola, Hawaii, Santa Barbara, finishing out your top 15.
Nice.
Good work.
Thanks very
good
much.
Good stuff.
Appreciate hearing from you every week.
Jay, we'll talk to you next Monday.
You got it, boys. Thanks. Have a good week. See ya.
Hold on. Give us your Super Bowl pick.
My Super Bowl pick.
Yeah, we should have done that.
Oh, man.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah. I'm not a big Brady fan.
Favorite by three.
I like Eli. I think he's pretty good. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say the Giants, I hope that they do well because I don't like Tom Brady. However, Bill O'Brien, our new football coach here, is the head coach
offensive coordinator,
New England. If he can come in with a Super Bowl title under his belt, that's going to create some real hype around here. So I'm torn, guys, but I'm going to pick the Giants.
Like
my own little selfish favor.
There you go, Jay Harsick from Penn State.
All right, guys. See ya.
Good stuff on the college final.
I'm
going to
go 28-24 Giants.
I'm going to give you my pick on the other side of the break, and we're going to talk about this assistant coach thing. We've talked a lot to other people. We're going to get our opinion coming up. Also, AVP and Cuervo having issues. The Net Live wrapping up after the next break.
come and tell me when it's time to. Sweetheart is bleeding in the snow cone. So smart, she's leading me to ozone. Music's a great communicator. Use two sticks to make it in the nature. I'll get you into penetration. The gender of a generation. The birth of every other nation. Took your weight, the load of meditation. This chapter's gonna be a close one. Smoke rings, I know you're gonna blow one. All on a spaceship persevering. Use my hands for everything.
You don't have to find the best college coaches. They find you at Spire Institute. Spire's postgraduate volleyball academy wants athletes. Spire delivers customized volleyball training and competition led by head coach John Hawks, athletic development with Michael Johnson performance, and educational options all in Olympic-grade facilities. There is no better way to impress college coaches and increase scholarship opportunities. Spire Institute, postgraduate men's and women's programs in multiple sports. It's not taking a year off, it's adding a year to your future. Sign up today at spireinstitute.org.
Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine. Volleyball Magazine has been serving the volleyball community for over 20 years with the latest in volleyball news and information, product reviews, athlete profiles, fitness, health, and travel-related features. It's published 9 times a year. Volleyball Magazine brings you the inside to the access to sports' biggest stars. Whether you're interested in junior, collegiate, or professional level, sand or indoor, Volleyball Magazine has you covered both on and off the court. Visit us now. Do it. www.volleyballmag.com. And subscribe for 1 year for only $19.99. Do that now and receive a new water bottle, a $49 value, free compliments of our friends at Naturally Energized Water Bottles Company. Volleyball Mag, the industry's number one volleyball magazine.
Welcome back in the Net Live, Monday, January 30. Gator just coming back. He's rushing back.
Russian?
No, he's coming back.
Gotcha.
Arriving back. Just finished up the College Volleyball Weekly, brought to you by the AVCA, the American Volleyball Coaches Association. We appreciate their support of this program, as well as the Spire Institute. Fantastic program led by John Hawks and Michael Johnson Performance. Had Bill Ferguson on here earlier. Fantastic 40 minutes spent with him. That's definitely worth a listen. Hope you're getting this on the iTunes podcast. It is available on iTunes within about 24 hours of the live broadcast. It is available on iTunes for free, so check that out. Also, facebook.com/thenetlive. Get some more likes up there. We need some more likes. We had a great competition this past week. It was how many different ways can you misspell DJ Roche's last name? And it was great, because when I posted it, I actually misspelled your last name,
yeah,
Jeremy. Thanks for pointing that out.
You thought you were funny.
I was leaving out one of the 6 vowels in your name.
Sorry that the competition about me dominated our Facebook page.
We had a great response.
You're
Jeff
welcome.
Alzina
welcome.
Actually himself entered 45 entries, I think it was.
I don't see it.
In all realism, I think it was 23. But listen, we're going to have an announcement of the winner of that next week here on this program. We got to go through all the entries. It's such a fantastic response. We're going to give away at least one NetLive t-shirt. I'm thinking there are enough people in there that we need a few NetLive t-shirts going out for creative entries. You can still enter this week. How do you spell creatively?
R-E-S-H-E-A is my favorite.
How do you misspell creatively, although still sounding like DJ Roche?
Can I say that Melissa Carvel?
Yeah.
She apparently thinks that my receding hairline is standing out a lot because she calls me DJ Rogaine.
You know what? Now you're getting a little piece of what Gardhoff gave myself and Reed in it, and it's not fun, is it? Because yeah, you got great hair, but you know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, but that was just
in her eyes. You got a gnarly, yeah, gnarly that's hairline, and you're going bald. And she might be right.
That's what she thinks about me. Is that? That's it. I mean, I thought we were friends.
Yeah. That's just I in type. That's not something that's going to end up on a T-shirt with, you know, his mean mug.
It's not going to be on the back of my laptop either. DJ Rogaine. I'll tell you that right now.
It's pretty awesome. Never heard that one.
I'm going to get that picture, totally that Gardhoff picture, put into stickers. I'm going to slap them all over Geeter's white MacBook.
Dude, what is wrong
so
with my white MacBook,
Kevin?
Bro? It's 4 years old. What's
I got a white
deal?
iPhone. I got a lot of grief for that. And then we had to deal with some issues here. People thinking we're homophobic and sheesh, enough, guys.
We or you?
No, listeners.
I know, thinking we were homophobic.
The listeners.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, me. Thank you.
Curious.
Point taken. Thank you, DJ.
Hey, Sam Croson's coming on the show. Did you talk about that?
I think Croson's
Crossin,
yeah.
Right? I said Crow because of Jane Croson.
It's Crossin.
Everyone always called her
Croson.
Sam Croson.
Sam Crow. You ever heard of Sam Crow?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sons of Anarchy.
You know, someone said I got to start watching that show.
Oh, what a show.
Yeah,
my
buddy said he watched
three.
38 episodes in 5 days or something
yeah.
on Netflix.
I just finished last night on
so I
got to
get into it, right?
I got to go illegal streaming now to find season 4.
Do you go Netflix on your iPad?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I'm rolling it out. Throw the iPad down. Keep you rolling it out. It's good. It's good stuff. Hey, we got
to
talk about...
Did you notice I'm packed to go to pick up?
I see no. that, but you got a few minutes here.
Are you
going to
bust your stuff today? Or are you
we still
got to
talk
your...
about the assistant coach.
I'm
going
to bust my snot rag.
What about your cup that you always leave?
Yeah, always.
Because whenever I put it in the other one, apparently I don't put it in the right trash can. So I don't know if he can ever tell me after 3 years where things go, I'd be real happy.
You know what I noticed? I noticed he used to bust when he was an independent freelance guy.
Now
he would
that
bust
he's
his own things.
A Fox guy.
Now he's a Fox guy. And, you know, it's just not that way. You don't clear your own table at the Fox cafeteria. So he doesn't clear his own table here.
There is no Fox cafeteria, guy.
It's not like ESPN. You guys aren't just sitting around with sharp
coming up with some doozies today.
All right.
Because we're horny for volleyball.
Let's talk about this assistant coach, too. We've got an opinion from a couple of different coaches dealing with it. One assistant coach and one head coach dealing with it on different sides. I think it's something that's expected. Everybody knows that's the goal, right? If you're an assistant coach, you don't want to be an assistant coach for life. There are a few out there, but mostly you don't want to do that. You want to climb the ladder. And I think the head coaches know that, but I still think it's delicate when...
Most head coaches want that. I know Marv,
oh, true.
For a fact...
2 years.
...big into that.
Marv says you get 2 years, basically.
Yeah. You know, look at that Patriots situation that Jay had talked about, you know, offensive coordinator... You know, when do you go? When I think it's kind of crazy is when a guy gets the job, one head job to the next during bowl season, and he's either coaching his last game or they don't let him coach the bowl game. I always think that's an awkward one. But I think in the sport of volleyball, there's not that many jobs out there. And, you know, especially in the women's game, you're always looking to get that leg up. I mean, the goal for most coaches is to get to that head coaching spot.
Well, if you
I think
bring
it's okay.
in
I really
an
do.
Assistant coach and you're like, oh, do you want to be a head coach one day? And they're like, no, I'm good doing this. That might rub me the wrong way.
You know, there's something to be said, though, for being real good at being an assistant coach.
Oh, they're not
it's a different job than being a head coach. Now, I think always the expectation is that that person should want to climb. As you just stated, they should want to climb. What if they just want to be an incredible assistant coach? There is such value in having a great assistant coach. Every time we have head coaches on here, all they talk about, or one of the things they always mention is how great their assistants are.
Okay, but those guys are making a couple $100,000 in other sports, but in volleyball you're making – you know what, between 40 to 70 grand probably. And
if you're lucky.
You know, so
if you're lucky.
For you to be a lifer assistant coach in the sport of volleyball, you better have a wife that's doing something different or you better come from some different money or be in a situation where it's okay. I mean, that's how I feel. I mean, those college basketball guys, yeah, they're with Coach K for a lot of years because they're making $150,000,
$200,000. Oh, they're making more than that.
Yeah. You know, and that's just a contract. And there's Nike and there's other stuff. So, you know, there's radio shows they do. There's TV appearances, stuff like that. So, and they've carved out a nice little life for themselves. But I think in our sport, it's tough. I mean, you know, to make some good money and to get to the mountaintop, you got to be a head coach, you know, and being an assistant. We'll talk to – I could talk to Tim about this because he's been with Nina a long, long time, but he also runs a club. So, you know, he has that dual income. But I think eventually you want to be that head coach.
Yeah, I think most guys aspire to that. But I think that the issue becomes when you have an assistant coach who's looking for a head job, isn't necessarily happy where he is. You've got some people I know like this at the moment, not necessarily happy where they are, looking for another job, may not get that job, and may end up back where they currently are. And that's got to be a little weird because you're not that happy, but you're going to have to stick it out another year because you couldn't find another good option.
You know, I did the LMU-Portland basketball game on Saturday, and the Portland staff is the longest tenured staff in college basketball. The head coach, Eric Reveneau, who played at Stanford in the 80s, has been the head coach for 6 years. All three of his assistants came in with him, all 6 years.
That's the most tenured in college basketball?
Well, yeah, for three assistants, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
oh,
in the conference. The I'm sorry. In the WC conference. I'm sorry. In the conference.
Well, Pepperdine switched coaches every two years for the last 15.
But there's something to be said about the continuity, and, you know, I think there are some people that are really happy where they are as assistant coaches because they love where they live.
And you
have
a family.
They love the situation. It's a great program. I mean, take Salima, for instance, now.
I could see Sully staying there.
You can see Sully and Salima staying for a lot of years because they get paid well and they have a great program and they got a great family dynamic there, great chemistry, and you like raising your kids. So I think in those kind of terms, 100%. But I think if you're just at that normal average school where you're fighting to win games and you get in the tournament, there's always that upgrade. Even going from a number two to a number one assistant or number one to a number one somewhere else where you have a chance to win a national championship, go to the Final Four, I think that matters.
Well, it's one of the reasons coaching is a really tough job, and one of the reasons I don't do it is I don't want to move my family every 2 years.
And if you don't win a national championship, you suck at it.
Well, yeah, and I would feel like I sucked because we weren't winning that. Well, no, let's be honest. We would win national championships, so I'd feel fine. It would be okay. Hey, the AVP and Cuervo are having issues. We've talked about Cuervo not announcing their schedule. We've talked about the AVP suing Cuervo. Word on the street is that lawsuit is holding up Cuervo's schedule. Yeah. How much truth is there to that?
You know, I haven't talked to anybody about it, but I have heard that from players, and I've heard that from people. I don't know what the lawsuit's about, Jay Roche. It's about the Manhattan
Open.
It's
a trademark infringement lawsuit.
Yeah, a trademark
primarily
infringement.
Primarily hinging on the Manhattan Open.
Yeah, so I'm sure once that gets settled, then they can move forward.
But it's holding everything up. Yeah. So Nick Lewin, even from the grave of volleyball, holding things up and screwing things up for
your
the world of volleyball. Good job, Nick. Kudos to you.
Does anybody else find it weird that since the last AVP event in October, we haven't heard a word from them other than this lawsuit?
They do like a Thursday trivia question on their Facebook page.
Didn't someone say, I'll text Hans about this, or maybe Josh, but didn't someone say that Hurley is with them now all of a sudden? It was on their Facebook page.
Oh, I did not hear that.
I'm just saying, Jay Roche, check their Facebook page.
Well, you know, Reed Pretty is with Hurley, and he's best buds with Nick Lewin, so maybe that's all coming together.
I love this.
Maybe we're all
I love
show.
The tension between Reed and Kevin.
Look, when you
unfortunately, Reed's not enjoying it because he's never here. He's playing.
When
he's busy.
You're
he's trying to
BFF
get to the Olympics,
with somebody for like 20 years.
Trying to provide for his family.
Mark, the answer to your question is yes, we have reached out, and no, we have not received responses from the aforementioned players in the AVP Cuervo event. Event being lawsuit.
Oh, are you looking at the message board?
Yeah, yeah. Mark actually sent us an email saying, hey, is there any truth to this? And so on, or posted on our page. And I reached out to Dave Williams. I've heard nothing back. I think you said you've reached out to people. I've heard nothing back.
Yeah.
I have not reached out to Nick Lewin. You know, don't have his number. Maybe we get Reed to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and also, you know, obviously the people at Cuervo and IMG and USA Volleyball can't discuss what they're going
through.
It's
an ongoing
lawsuit. Yeah, so.
I didn't expect to hear a lot of details. But word on the street is that's the problem.
They'll come on when it's done. That I know for sure.
Geeter, next week we have...
Sam. Crossin.
Crossin. Going to be on the program. We'll have more fun here. Geeter, myself, and DJ Roche sitting in the studio. Maybe we'll even have a visit from Reed Pretty.
And you get a little edgy and a little grumpy, but then when you're here and you're in the moment for these 2 hours, you have a good time. And I'd like you to admit that to everybody.
I do have a good time.
This audience is part of your family.
And then I go work on my dirt bike and I feel better.
Did you say work on his dirt bike?
Dude, I can't
just
even.
Sure that's what we heard.
I can't even. As I said to Cam Kerr, this would never happen in Canada. This would never happen on his show. And I'm glad it can't.
It's too cold to even go outside there.
It's just that they don't talk about that kind of stuff.
You know hockey's creeping into that show. You know that happens. They can't get through 67 minutes program without
motocross
hockey
motocross is just like my name dropping. It is part of the show and your hairline. I'm just saying, Jeremy Rogaine is unbelievable now.
Just because
you had a little double chip comment earlier on the.
You're so upset about that. Yeah.
All right, Jeremy's going to compile a list of names. We're going to have a vote. We're going to have a NetLive vote. We're going to have T-shirts awarded next week on this program. How do you spell DJ Roche?
How do I compile a list when Jeff Alzina had 36 options? Did you see that?
Yeah, he's like Laszlo from Real Genius, right?
He wants. You can't do that, bro.
He wants a T for sure.
Where do I throw this stuff, Matt?
He's got the little machine going. It's signing. It's throwing the cards in. All right.
Get off me, Chris.
Hey, spin it up. Let's get out of here. It's been another fun show. Many thanks to Hurley, to the AVCA, to Spire Institute, to Volleyball Magazine for being on board.
Three-time gold medalist, Carl Schumacher.
Thanks to you for listening out there in the Volley Universe. We hope you're getting us on iTunes and interacting on Facebook or thenetlive@gmail.com. That's our info. This is our show, and we'll see you again next week.
I can't explain any of these stars racing through my brain. It's true. Baby, I'm howling for you. All right. There's something wrong with this plot. The actors here have not got a clue.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.